Thank you, church, for doing that. You may be seated when you're ready. When you've told enough moms, thank you, and that we owe you a ton. I don't know about you, but I've done my fair share of that. My family's all spread out today. My wife and kids, Christy and the kids, are down with her family. Her parents are moving this way later this week, and they're off helping get ready for the big move and spending Mom's Day with her, with my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law. I was already texting this morning and calling this morning, and just I guess I need to say that words are really cheap in moments where you are so in debt to the people that on a daily basis sacrifice to take care of the moment by moment, the now moments, the moments that you can't pause and you can't wait. And when I was thinking about all that the Lord had put on my heart this week to say to you from a conversation standpoint, I was reminded about how moms can't do the give me just a minute, give me just a second. It's now. There's always this now moment of dealing with life. And moms are the best at dropping everything else and focusing on kids. They've always, I think God made them that way. Us lug-headed guys and dads are often like, yeah, you know, we'll get it on the schedule. We'll think about it. We've got to get done with our stuff, you know. When I'm done here or there, mom's just like, hey, it's right here, you know. And so for all you moms, thank you for being that way. That's the way God made you. I pray that the crazy world that we all live in doesn't take that away from you. Because our kids and our grandkids need you desperately to be able to drop all the stuff of life and look at our children in the eyes and make sure that they sense real love, real dedication, real commitment. They need that from you more than anybody else in this world. And I'm grateful that the Lord made you just initially that way. And I pray that the schedules and the busyness and the stress and the multiple jobs and the distractions of life don't mess with that for you. I know it's a temptation because we all face that these days, don't we? We all face a significant serious amount of distraction. And it comes naturally in our world. I said this last week. I really don't think that evil, Satan, and our worst human issues don't come knock on our front door and say, here I am to mess your world up. I don't think it happens that way. I think it just literally is this slow distraction. It's this easing into the messy stuff of life, and all of a sudden the priorities, the most important things, seem to not be there. And matter of fact, there's this constant battle in there to focus on the big things of life, the most important things of life. At the end of the day, month, year, decade, whatever, lifetime, you'd probably say here's are the most important things of life. But if you compare it by time or compare it by focus or emotional energy towards those things or even relational energy, you often feel like you failed. I don't know about it. If you have, I have. I mean, I'll confess that to you today, that the world that we live in distracts us from what Jesus himself says is the greatest of all commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor. And who's your closest neighbor? Who's your nearest neighbors? Yeah, that's a big umbrella, by the way. That word is not just the people that live across the street from you. I remember way back before LifePoint started, more than 10 years ago now, I was on staff at Oakland Heights down the road, and I remember the pastor preaching a whole series on loving your neighbor. And I remember thinking, I don't even know my neighbor's names, you know? That sounds like a good sermon. It sounds like a good scripture to live by, but it just sounds like it. It's just pieces of dots on a page. It's just something up on a screen. But I wondered if I could live it out. And then I was challenged by that. Matter of fact, a lot of that challenge is what started LifePoint. To simplify life, to get focused on what we're going to call today the now priorities. To make sure relationships and loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength in our neighbor as ourselves are the priority? How do we make that the priority in your life? Now, I'm just going to ask you that blunt question today. What are your now priorities? If you were to evaluate now, and last week we had a little take five. We're not going to do it again, I promise, but at least today we're not. But if we were to take 5 minutes out again of our service today and actually share that with one another, my priorities in a list right now, my key values, and what is not just my values, but they consume my thoughts, and then my thoughts affect my attitude and my actions. Those values and those beliefs are my priorities. What would those be? I think there's a direct correlation with your attitudes and actions towards your crazy, stressful, multi-directional, multifaceted, multi-world that we live in. Goes all the way back through attitudes and thoughts and beliefs, all the way down to your core values of what you truly are inside. And some of us are already going, whoo, I may need to rethink. I think we need to rethink every day. I think we need to evaluate those core values every single day to match up with that greatest commandment. Loving Him and loving others is what we will at the end of the day, month, year, decade, life. Is what will really give our life value. So again, a question. Just for pause for a minute. What are your now priorities? If you were to confess that openly, and it matched up with your calendar and your schedule and your finances, if it was to match up with your attitudes and your emotions, what are your now priorities? Priorities that lead you to be focused on the present day, on the things that are most important right in front of you, and not just on a set of priorities that gets you stuck in some future pursuing of things or some being stuck in the past where you're dealing with failures of the past or struggles of the past. The reality is we do get stuck in those patterns of past thinking and being consumed by that and future thinking, and we miss out on the right now. Last week we shared out of Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Now, the concept of seeking Him first is that right now, is it His kingdom in priority first? And all the righteousness that comes with being a part of His kingdom now. We talked about that last week as well, is that the kingdom is not just the coming kingdom. Remember the prayer that Jesus taught the boys when He said, hey, when they all said, hey, teach us how to pray. May your kingdom come on earth. And I'm going to insert the word now, because that's the reality of living in the now. They were struggling with how to make prayers functional in the here and now. This is not just so we can be right on a day facing Him on that judgment day. It's so that that kingdom can come now on this earth in our present day as it is in heaven. As it's already there, may it be here, is the prayer that Jesus taught him. I think that should affect us today. That should create the seeking first His kingdom and the relationship with Him, the right relationship. All the other stuff, all those other things that you ultimately will end up needing and to some degree wanting, let Him take care of that. This whole chapter in Matthew 6 is such a challenge for me. If you read the whole thing today with moms that challenge you to do this, if you read the whole thing today, it'll rock your world, I'm telling you. Because the stuff that so easily entangles us, the belongings and the fame and the fortune and the stuff and the stuff and the stuff. It seems like, you know, I was flipping through the newspaper this last week in preparation for Mom's Day. I'm sure some of y'all were doing that too. And I just noticed that Mom's Day, I don't know how much is about the relationship with moms as much as it is about selling stuff. I think the same thing about, you know, other holidays. All major holidays. Every major holiday is turned into this marketing spree, hadn't it? This event. Instead of a focus on a relationship, we've turned it into the stuff. What a horrible thing to do. Where the big focus is to focus on the relationship and the conversation of that day and the importance of sharing with one another. And I'm not just trying to cop out here. I know what some of you are thinking, like, oh, he doesn't want to buy something, you know. No, I'm not doing that. But I am saying let's put the most important thing. You know, breakfast in bed is good, and some of y'all have been talking to you about that, you know, in the morning. You know, a nice gift is nice. A card is important. But the conversation with the people that make a difference in your life is eternal. That's loving the neighbor, putting things first. I love the concept here at the end of Matthew 6:34. Don't worry about tomorrow. And moms, this is a big temptation for you. I know that. That it's always to be consumed about what's coming instead of pausing and waiting and loving right there. It's not just for moms, is it though, dads? It's for all of us. We get consumed with worry and about stuff. Have you noticed that when you worry, it's usually because you have a tension between stuff and priorities? Have you noticed that? Why does worry happen at all? Why does any anxiety happen? It's because somewhere there's a challenge in your soul with if you're doing what's right. And that's usually because our priorities are not right. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each and every day has enough. I love the word enough. All right, it's enough. You know, and I hate to say this, and I'll just, you know, from my position of sitting down with couples and families that are challenged these days, struggling through things these days, decisions, relationships, money, stress, schedule, hear that all the time. And in the midst of that, I hear people saying, I can't take any more. I've had enough. I'm like, yeah, Scripture even tells you that. Today's enough. So if you're going to get stuck in the past or stuck in the future, then you're in trouble today. Your now is messed up. You may not be able to focus on now. You may not be able to do the most important commandment. You may not be able to fulfill seeking Him first. The burdens of the past are just like the anxiety of the future. When we focus on them and our priorities, we get stuck in dangerous patterns that keep us from living in the now. Remember what we said last week out of Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Now, I started thinking about that heavy burdens this week. Where do heavy burdens come from? Sure, there may be issues in our present and our future that cause anxiety. But what's a burden? What's the difference between burdens and anxiety? Burdens is what's already been put on you. You already got it on your back and in your arms and in your head and on your thoughts and in your checkbook and on your schedule. The burden's already there. These are past tense realities. And Jesus offers something that we are so needing and wanting inside. This is not an outside deal. I'm not a nap guy, and I recognize, I don't even like to sleep that much. That's just my personality. But I recognize a lot of people love Sunday afternoon stuff, you know, naps. You know, that's just not me, but I get that people like that, you know. All my family likes that. They want me to leave them alone and not, you know, push them to do all the laundry and everything else on Sunday afternoon. They want rest, right? I'm like, you ain't got no time for rest. We got to get stuff done, you know. But they all want that. I get what rest means from a physical perspective, but that's not what we're talking about. The burdens of the past are not necessarily physical here. We're talking about relational, emotional, internal burdens. You have some, don't you? Some of them are wrapped up in those priority relationships. Those are the big ones, aren't they? They're just not right. Those are the ones that hurt the most, that weigh the most, that haunt you the most. They haunt me too. The burdens of failures in the past, whether that's a failure of morals or financial or emotional, boy, they're heavy, aren't they? I mean, let's not joke around about this. Especially moms that have to face the now every day. You carry those burdens into the now, and it becomes almost impossible to focus, to seek Him first. I hear that in my own family, and watch my wife that's a full-time teacher and a mother of four and a wife of one, and I'm burdensome, so I'll just confess that at times. I add to that. And I recognize how important this set of scriptures are for her. And praying those over her today and for each of you ladies today, where Jesus gives an offer of to take His yoke, to join in with Him, because He bears the load, but He allows you to walk with Him. Let me teach you, He says. I think we all need to learn here. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and I'm gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I was talking to somebody this week about the whole loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I recognize we live in really a Greek world and not a Hebrew world. Now, that may not mean that much to you, but let me explain real quick. Hebrew world tied it all together. Your heart, your soul, and your mind were all one thing. There was one. The Greek liked to bust it up. We like the little pieces. We like to let's separate the mind from the heart and the soul. So, you know, you can be right in the mind and still have soul issues. You know, you can be right in the soul and still have mind issues. You can be right in the soul and say, yeah, I've got the relationship with God, but your heart's not right and your mind's not right. We live in a world that likes that Greek thought a lot more than what Jesus tried to bring into to fulfill the Hebrew thought of one. It's all one. It's all tied together. You can't segment. You can't separate. Your heart is directly tied to your soul, and your soul absolutely guides your mind. They're all tied together. And so when you're talking literally about a soul rest for your souls, that's the one that has to affect your heart and your mind, your relational focus, that heart and your mind, that thought process. They have different functions, but they're all tied together. You need rest in your soul so you can think right, ladies. Just saying. You need rest in your soul so your heart for your husbands and for your friends and for your children are right. It's that rest in your soul that God takes care of, that Jesus offers to that His yoke is easy to bear. And the burden that He gives is really light, because the only burden that He gives is to know Him and to love Him well. Last week we shared these truths based on these sets of scriptures. Read those for just a second. How you get stuck. Any of those words stick out to you? Any guilt, resentment, anger, and bitterness about the past? Any of those burdens weighing on you? How about patterns of the future? When you focus and you live in anxiety or worry or insecurity and fear, any of those in your heart and soul today? Anybody need some rest? When you live in the now, when you focus on the priorities of Jesus, remember what He said His priorities were. And I really believe His priorities. Now notice I'm talking about His priorities now. Because you just got invited to share in His yoke, okay? It was a pure invite to come be with Him. Let Him give you rest. Let Him teach you. So in that invite, you better know what His priorities are. Because if you're yoked with Him, guess what's going to guide you? It's His priorities, okay? Check out His priorities in John 10. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. You bet there's a thief out there that comes to steal and kill, destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Here's His priority is that you will, one, first of all, there in verse 9, you will be with Him and find pasture. That's that rest again. But you'll be with Him through that gate and with Him. And He comes to give you life. There's one that comes to destroy you, to kill you, to distract you, to steal moments from you. That's what He's trying to do. And evil messes with our flesh, and our flesh gets tied to these things of the past and the future. I've come that you may have life, but not just some life, not just an okay life, not just a make it through the day life, not just a survive another day life, but a full life that you can sit down and go, man, God is blessing me. Now, before we get too far with that, some people would read this scripture, I think, incorrectly. I think this whole full life is not talking about your bank account, your house, size of your house, nor the clout in the community. Okay, I don't think any of that's true. When I think about full life, I think about the very offer that he just gave us to be at rest with him, knowing that his priorities are our priorities. Knowing that we can pull off the greatest of all commandments. Knowing that we can seek him first. Knowing that that's happening on a day-to-day basis. This now living must be embraced in our attitudes and our actions. They cannot just be words on a screen or 2,000-year-old commandments from Jesus. We must put the Jesus priorities as our priorities, or we'll never live in the moment that's called now. Sometimes, you know how, at least it does with me, it takes a little bit for something to kick in. Is that true for anybody else? You know, you hear stuff and you're like, yeah. And you find yourself, you know, a few days, a few weeks, a few years, maybe a decade going, oh yeah, those honey buns don't do me any good, right? You know, or oh yeah, I'm supposed to, you know, be committed a little bit more to exercise. Oh yeah, you know, especially if you wake up in your 40s and you haven't done what you're supposed to do in your 30s, just saying, all right? For any of y'all that are, you know, wherever you're at, some of y'all that are further down the road, you know what I'm talking about, right? So all of a sudden you wake up and you go, oh yeah, all that information that the Lord's been trying to kind of just drop on me, like this rest thing and this seeking him first thing. Guess why we have guilt and resentment and burdens from the past? This is because we wake up and we haven't done what we already know we're supposed to do. It's this hearing and not doing thing again. We talked about all last month. That he didn't give us these words and these thoughts and these the intentions of God and the commandments just so we can know them in our head. They are to be understood, and our attitudes and our actions are supposed to reflect that. This happened to Paul. Paul was an interesting guy. If you read, my favorite book from Paul is a book called Romans, and I like Romans so much because he just kind of lays it out. It's kind of one of the, matter of fact, I preached a sermon a couple weeks ago. People walked out and said, thanks for just being black and white today. You know, I don't know what that meant. I don't know if I was meaner than normal. I don't know. But Romans is kind of like that. He just calls people out, you know. It's just kind of blah on you. Just kind of, okay, I guess I know what he wants me to know today, you know. It's kind of like that. And Romans chapter 5 is a conversation about this Jesus priority stuff. And I wanted to read part of it to you today and have a little bit of a conversation, because I think Paul does a great job explaining how to have his priorities and how to seek him first. It says, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. So it's this, I'm changed now reality. We have peace with God now. Not because of what we've done, because of what Jesus has done. Because of the past of what Jesus has done, I can not just know him in my mind, but I have a peace, a rest with him. Because of our faith in him, he brought us to this place, and that's a now statement, to this place of undeserved privilege. I don't know if you feel that way. But just recently, that's just really hit me recently. I know we get caught up in the negative. I know we get caught up in the past. I know we have anxiety about the future. But I think one of the best things that happens when you live in the now is you just have this aha moment of really how blessed you are. Look around at the people and the opportunities, the blessings that the Lord has given you. I just pause for just a second. I think if you live in the now, you're grateful. You're thankful. But because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. now stand? Where do you now stand? Is an interesting question. And we confidently and joyfully look forward. So how we can have a good perspective about the future is based on where we now stand. Now stand in those priorities of Jesus, a full life, one focused on seeking Him first, one focused on loving Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, strength, and loving those around us well. That's where you get this sense of rest and peace from. This isn't a formula. It's really based on this understanding Him and centered on Him. Many of you know I don't like the word balance. And moms, this is the biggest trick for you today, is try to balance your world. Has anybody ever got there? Have you found balance? I don't believe it. You know what balance is? I always play with this, and I have some friends that give me a hard time about this. Like, you don't think of the word right, all right? But I'll tell you, here's what I think of when I hear the word balance. I think of a teeter-totter, all right? And I think of you right over that pendulum like this, right? And you get a little tired, and you lean this way, and you got to catch yourself, you know. Somebody's going to jump on the other end sometimes, aren't they? It is. It's just going to happen. Probably little creatures that God has given you. Lots of times, especially if you're a mom. So you run to the other end and try to balance it out. Okay? You're going to wear yourself out. You've already noticed. Somebody's going to throw something on this end. It's called schedules and life and money and stress and relationships with your husband and all this kind of stuff. So you're going to run to the other end and you're going to try to balance this all out. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. I'm telling you, as your friend, I don't think it's ever going to work. If you want to achieve something about the concept of staying centered, I get that. Where Christ is at your focus and your priority and you're seeking Him first. You don't have to run to the edges. Because in essence, all the things priority-wise are in line for you. I see that all the time. I hear people all the time. Now, let's be honest about whether you're trying to do balancing or just life. It happens. Life happens. This all sounds hunky-dory, doesn't it? Now, He takes our burdens. He gives us rest. We're seeking Him first. And you're like going, sounds great, Brian. But do you know what I'm facing this week? Well, you're already focused on the future, right? But you got to plan ahead. I know what you're thinking. Man, if I don't plan ahead a little bit, I'm in trouble in the now then. You know, I know what you're thinking. And you bet there's those burdens of the past that aren't just easy to get rid of. Problems and struggles and battles don't stop just because we have this faith thing. And anyone that believes that you have this relationship with Christ thing, you don't have any struggles, hasn't had a relationship with Christ very long. I'm just telling you, it's still going to happen, isn't it, friends? If you have a relationship with Christ, that doesn't mean it's all going to go hunky-dory. Matter of fact, read on in Romans 5, verse 3. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Anybody want to pray for endurance? No, it's like praying for patience. You don't do that, right? No, you don't ever want to do that. Who wants to endure? And nobody wants to endure. You want it easy, you know. And we question God when it's not. We want it perfect. We want it, you know, cancer-free. We want it debt-free. We want it always great in our relationships. We want everybody liking us. We want everybody loving us. We want it to be the hero of the day. And it's not going to happen all the time. Because the reality is endurance develops strength of character. Who are you going to go to when you have to endure, when you can't make it on your own? You're going to go to the people that love you the most, and that includes Him. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. The whole concept of being with Him forever, and that being perfect, and this being a place where we get to prove that He is our priority. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. So it's not just that Jesus came and set us priorities. He even sent His Spirit in the midst of that. We don't need temples anymore. He can live in you and through you. And this whole concept of balance is a facade again, based on the concept of the Holy Spirit is in charge of your daily walk. Living by Spirit. Not by stuff, not by eyesight, but by faith with the Spirit guiding you daily, demands you to spend time with Him. Demands you to say, Lord, what do you want me to focus on today? Lord, what are your priorities today? This is so important to grasp. He didn't just send us Jesus on a rescue mission to escape hell and eternal suffering and done with us. He sent His Spirit to live in our spirit. Our soul needs Him in there. We knew our hearts would be distracted and potentially distant if he didn't send his Spirit to give us the ability to focus on eternal priorities. We desperately need his thoughts to control our thoughts. You ever had thoughts you're like, you're going, where did that come from? I would bet it wasn't from him, because his thoughts lead us to a centered reality of priorities, of seeking him and loving others well. He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. This is important to grasp. He didn't just say, here's your eternal fix. He says, here is your now fix. We must understand that our hope and our confidence to live in the now is not contingent upon the condition of the circumstances of our life or our emotions that come with those circumstances. Read that statement again for yourself. Circumstances cannot produce constant peace and rest, can they? Because the circumstances of life are roller coasters, death spins. You know, you're going over the edge, like going, is there an end to this? Am I going to ever come back up? I never want to get on this ride again. Circumstances are like that. But our hope and our confidence, like what we just talked about, is in him and what he can do in the sense of soul rest right now. We must remember the mission of Jesus and his purpose in coming to impact our priorities. When it says, when we were utterly helpless in verse 6 of Romans 5. Christ came at just the right time. He died for us sinners at just the right time. Now, right now. Most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while you and I were still messy, sick, soul desperate, mind messed up, heart distracted kind of people. He saw you and me and all of our tendencies to be consumed by the stuff of this world, and he sent his one and only son anyway. That's real love. He created you and I with an image in us that cries out for eternal reality and purpose, not this distracted mess that you and I live in. And in the midst of all that, he made sure his son nailed that down. And he sent his Spirit to help us in the journey of now. God showed, he proved his great love. Another little commercial here for just a second. Love is always provable. This whole assumed love, oh, he knows I love him. Oh, she knows I love him. That's bunkus. That's the best word I can say in here. That's trash. That he knows. I don't have to say it. I don't have to show it. I don't have to prove it. That's a lie straight from the stealer and the killer himself. You must prove love. Jesus did. God did. I would bet if they felt like they needed to prove love, a silly, consumed, messed up, sinning human beings need to do the same. Don't you think? Because our past messes with our relationships and our future scares us so much. You better prove your love. It doesn't matter how old you are in here. It doesn't matter how long that you've known your mama or your wife or your husband or your kids. Prove it every day. And if you don't, guess what's going to happen? Well, you already know. Guilt, resentment, anger, bitterness. That's the past burdens. Anxiety, fear. You're already with me, aren't you? That's what happens when you don't prove love. Do you know that God's proven his love to you right now? His Holy Spirit is willing to hang out with you, even though you ain't got it all right yet. Even though you're trying to balance. He's still willing to hang out with you. And in the midst of that, his love is willing to cover up your messes of your past and your fears of your future right now. Do you know what happens when you live in the now? As you live out Jesus' priorities, it is in his mission, in this mission and priorities of putting people ahead of pain, just like he did. Our lives ahead of personal pleasure, just like he did. And love of us and love of others, even in spite of all the issues. You know what I'm talking about, right? All the messy stuff and still focused on love, just like he did. And forgive us of our past, present, and future sins, just like he did, if we can live that out. If we can deal with our selfish ways, and he put away all of his kingship and all of his glory, and he put away heaven just for us. If we can do that, the metrics of life change. The metrics of life change. The metrics of life change when you live in the now. The things that you weigh out as success and as important change. Some of us has faced some of that lately. Life changes, so boy, it's a challenge. You add another kid. By the way, next year when we do Mother's Day, you have to reserve a seat. I think we have 15 babies that we know of coming right now, all right? 15 before next Mother's Day, all right? Whew, it's going to be a fun day. I think we have 6 or 7 this time, but next year is 15. That's going to be fun. But I'll tell you, as life changes for those 15 families, as well as, or 14, I think we have one twins, right, back here. But as those families face the change that they're, whether that's job or more kids or getting married or trying to establish yourself in your marriage and your relationships and your priorities, I just want to share this with you. Make sure your metrics match up with Jesus' priorities. A full life seeking him, at peace with him, at rest with him. People matter over prosperity. Time with family and friends rank over extra income. Pursuing good relationships matter way more than hobbies, collecting stuff, or sinking into some form of escape that we like to call in this day, entertainment. Ouch, right? When we focus on making this moment of this day count towards the eternity, we are promised then that we recognize the reality of Jesus putting so much importance on this friendship thing with him. If you don't think God wants to be your friend, check this out in Romans 5. Since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with him. This isn't just about the saving ticket. This is about a reciprocal relationship. You do realize that, right? He wants to be a reciprocal friend. You talking with him, listening to him, sharing stuff with him as he shares his blessings with you. This crazy mission of Jesus to save our souls was because his metric, his values, his priorities, catch this, is you and me. We are his metric. We are what he weighs out as success. I think we ought to reciprocate that. If we make him first, seeking him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving those that he puts in our life around us, we live in the now. It is amazing how much he loves us. It's amazing how much he loves you. It is. It's amazing how much he loves me. He knows everything about our past. He sees all of our future, and even in all of those things, you are his metric. He loves you that much. Father God, we pause to allow your love to be honored today. Sure, in the lives and the hearts of the way you made moms. The way you orchestrated that on that day back in the garden, the first time you said it is not good is because you looked at old Adam and he was all alone. And because he couldn't do this on his own. He couldn't take care of the planet, couldn't take care of himself, couldn't take care of what God really wanted to do is to flood this world with his image through his people. We needed Eve. And ever since then, oh Lord, even though it got messy, even though they got distracted, you have proven your love, and continue to prove your love. God, it is that love that sinks into our soul, that gives us rest, that we deal with our past and we hand you our future and we make you our priority. The full life is based all upon you and your love. And God, today, as we not just talk about it and sing about it, may we embrace it, Lord. May it be your love that we don't walk out of this room without. grasping what that means for our souls and our hearts and our minds. God, maybe some folks in here need some prayer and some encouragement for that. So whether they go to our prayer circles this morning or sit right there as husband and wives and families or friends and pray for one another, or we give this moment to you. May your love speak to us. Maybe Lord, somebody would say, I want the love that deals with my past. I want the love that gives me a real future, and I don't have that. I have knowledge, but I don't have the love that makes a difference in my soul. God, may they embrace that today, embrace you and your salvation and your Son. May they live with the Spirit in them forever. May it be your love, oh God, that changes our souls, gives us rest, helps us to seek the things of the now, not on the stuff or dealing with the past. God, thank you for your love, meekness right now, making us your priority. May we reciprocate that love, oh God, right now. Again, not in words that we just sing, but in our souls, oh God. Just pause for just a moment. Embrace or allow, would you allow his love to just kind of meet you individually? Maybe you're sitting to a really close, important person to you. a close neighbor that God's given you. Maybe you want to put an arm around them or embrace them for a moment. Maybe you want to say, God, thank you so much for some of the best blessings right here next to me. Maybe you want to pause and allow his love to overwhelm your soul, fill your heart, help you through the struggles of the day, because the day has enough. Father, may your love change us. May it give us rest. Pause for just a second, friends. If you need prayer, there's some folks in our prayer circles. I encourage you, husbands, kids, friends, pray for each other where you're at. Thank you, Lord, for your love.